Part one in a series of Shiurim, helping us get a better sense of what Talmud Torah, what Torah means to us. 49 days between Pesach and Shavuos to prepare for Matan Torah. But Torah is so broad and so complex, so multi-layered, so multi-dimensional. It's difficult to prepare in less than 49 days. Because I'll speak about the 48 ways to acquire Torah, the 48 kinyanim of Torah. So let's try in this series to get a sense of what Torah means in our lives, both Torah itself as well as the experience of Talmud Torah. So let's start from the beginning. We see Har Sinai as the moment that Torah was delivered. And indeed, that's when Torah was delivered to a human audience. But Chazal tell us that Torah, Kadma Li'olam Alpayim Shana, Torah preceded the earth. So it speaks about the eternity of Torah, and hopefully other shurim will talk about the fact that Torah transcends our experience in this world. But in particular, why does it precede the world? It may outlast the world, but why does it precede the world? And part of the answer to that question, not the only reason it precedes the world, it's more eternal, but because it precedes the world, it also is the blueprint, the source of knowledge of Hashem's approximated logic that becomes a blueprint or template for the entire universe. In Zohar, this is referred to by the following phrase. Even people that aren't steeped or conversant in Kabbalah know a few famous phrases of the Zohar, famous phrases of Kabbalah. This is one of them. Histakel bioraisa uvara alma. HaKadosh Baruch Hu literally looked in the Torah and created the world. Now at a rational level, and I'll talk about the Kabbalistic connotations in a moment, but at a rational level, it means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu employed the logic of the Torah to create this world. Now, I just quoted the Zohar. The most lucid expression of this in Chazal and Nigla, not in Kabbalah, is based on a pasuk in Mishlei Perches. Mishlei Perches, Shlomo describes that he was an Amon. And the word Amon, Aleph Mem Vav Nun, means mentor, teacher, confidant, instructor. Chazal see the word Amon not just as an instructor or a mentor, but according to one position in the Medrash, Amon is a catchphrase for the word Uman, a craftsman and an artisan. And this is not just referring to Shlomo, but referring to the Torah, that the Torah was an Uman. Dabar Acher, I'm just reading from the Medrash because it's the most direct source. Amon Uman. HaTorah Omeris, this is the Torah speaking, not Shlomo speaking, because in Perches it talks about Chachma, Chachma becomes personified, and Chachma begins to speak, and Chachma is Torah. So Davar Acher Amon, Uman, craftsman. HaTorah Omeris, Aniya Yisi Kliyum Naso. I was the tools of crafting the world, Shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I'm just recording outside near a construction site, so I apologize for the loud pneumatic drills in the background. Right, while I'm discussing crafting the world, we're continuing to craft our country and to craft history. Benoach Shiba Olam, typically Melech Basar V'dam Bana Platin, when someone builds a palace, ain't no bonus on Midas Atzmo. He doesn't show up with the work tools and start building randomly. On Midas Uman, he follows the blueprints, he follows the instructions of the artisan, of the architect. Ve'uman ain't about midas atzmo, and the uman doesn't build by himself. Ela difteros uvinkos. He has blueprints and papers. Ladas hecho sechadaro would have put the rooms. Kacha Hakadosh Baruch Hu mabit batara ubari esaolam. Hakadosh Baruch Hu looked in the Torah, peered at the Torah, and crafted the universe, all of reality as we know it, based on the Torah's logic. And the Medrash interprets the pasuk Bereishis bara Elokim. Ein Reishis Ela Torah. Of course, another pasuk in Mishlei, Hashem Kanani Reishis Darko. So Torah precedes the world, and because it precedes the world, it becomes the blueprint, the template for crafting not just the planet that we inhabit, but all of reality. The entire universe is based on HaKadosh Baruch Hu's logic as it's contained in Torah. So again, the phrase in Zohar is Histakel Bi'oraisa, HaKadosh Baruch Hu looked in the Torah, Ubara Alma. It's, of course, parallel to the Medrash, Mabit Batara, the language of the Medrash, Ubari Esaolim. It's pretty much a one-to-one direct translation in the Zohar. Now, at a rational level, this means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu literally, as the Medrash says, employ the Torah as blueprints, as we would employ any blueprints, to give us scale, to give us network, to give us correspondence, to give us symmetry. So the world is built on the logic contained in the Kodesh Baruch Hu's Torah. In Kabbalah, this has more mystical, obviously, connotations. I won't just say mystical, but cosmological. And pretty much you can read some of this in the Nefesh HaChaim, the very famous section of the Nefesh HaChaim in Shaar Dalet of Reb Chaim Volozhin, that all of reality, what does Kabbalah try to address? Kabbalah tries to address how an infinite, eternal, non-physical, transcendent Hashem creates, I'm standing at a construction site, creates the stone that I'm standing on. How do you translate non-physical infinity into finite physicality? And non-Kabbalah doesn't worry about that question. There's a gap. There's a gap between a transcendent Hashem and He created, and we accept that gap. But Kabbalah tries to trace that. And the translation or the trickling down from HaKadosh Baruch Hu's infinite, non-physical, indivisible essence into our world of division, our world of physicality, our world of finitude, our world of transience is based on the concept of Hishtalshelus, where slowly but surely Hashem's essence trickles down from one world to another. These worlds are called Sefiros or Olamos, and in each world it becomes a little bit more physical, and until it reaches the lowest realm which we inhabit, and it takes the form of material and space and time. Now, the highest world, the world that's closest to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, known as the Or HaElyon, is the world of Torah. Torah is a direct simulation or approximation of Hashem's will, of Hashem's Ratzon. So Torah's role in creating the earth is not just as a blueprint, that I would look at a blueprint and scheme and design and plan and strategize how to build, but Torah becomes the channel. Torah becomes the conduit through which the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu begins the Hishtalshelus, begins the trickle-down effect, making its way into the world of material, to the world of time, into the world of space. And it's not just a blueprint, it's also a sustainer, because the lower worlds would not be sustained without this constant flow of Hashem's chios, of Hashem's spirit, not spirit, but of Hashem's life force that trickles down to this earth. And it's not just a blueprint, and it's not just a sustainer, but when we study Torah, we're activating some of that capacity of the higher level Torah in order to continue that flow, that trickle down of HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shefa. So in Kabbalah, the role of Torah is not just a static set of pages or set of pictures and schematics that the world is based upon, but ultimately becomes a conduit, the highest level, the highest strata on that system of conduits through which HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence trickles down until it manifests itself and expresses itself in our world. So that's more of a Kabbalistic read of this concept that Torah is responsible or is the basis of this world. Now, what's interesting about either approach, either the rational approach that the Torah is the blueprint of this world, or the Kabbalistic approach that the Torah is the conduit through which HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence trickles down to this world, it's a very interesting corollary, and it's an important contemporary corollary. We live in a world in which a lot of people give thought to what role non-Torah study should play. This is, of course, not a new conversation. It's as old as time itself. But there are periods in which this issue becomes more pressing, more compelling, and other periods in which it takes a backseat, it becomes less pressing. So, for example, in the 14th century, for many historical, cultural reasons, there were great debates about the study of philosophy, surrounding, of course, in early 13th, 14th century, surrounding some of the Rambam's forays into philosophy, the famous ban against studying philosophy if you're younger than 35, the Rashba was opposed to philosophy, and of course, in that context, it was primarily the study of philosophy that came under controversy or conversation. But throughout history, there are healthy conversations about the study of math, the study of science. In the modern era, some of that conversation has broadened into social studies and humanities. Even those who are willing to grant credibility and meaning to the study of science and math, biology, are less inclined to study art and poetry because those are human-crafted rather than divine engines. And some people are more embracing of an entire world because healthy noble ideas expressed by human creativity can help us better understand ourselves, better understand our world, better understand our relationship with God, assuming it's the right type of expression. So these are controversies, these are questions that are perennial. And they range across a broad spectrum of issues, such as Bittul Torah, should we dedicate time for non-Torah pursuits at the cost of Torah? Again, sadly, in much of our world, the ethos of Talmud Torah and of not wasting a minute and of constant attention, at least in some circles, has sadly eroded. So I'm less compelled by that concern that if you study math or you study even literature, it will come at the cost of Torah. Unfortunately, in the world of entertainment, in the world of time wasting, in the world of internet, it's more likely to come in place of less productive and less noble pursuits. But either way, these are legitimate questions, and in today's incarnation, a lot of it speaks to the difference between those who affiliate with a Haredi approach, those who affiliate with less of a Haredi approach. Some who affiliate with more Haredi are more closed to the idea, some are more open to the idea, are not part of the Haredi community. And these are healthy and important debates. But one idea, one truth remains axiological. Fundamentally, all, at least science, math, physics, biology, astronomy, astrology, if you feel that it's really a science, as many of you showed him did, all of this can be accessed through Torah. By definition, all knowledge, all information, all wisdom, all logic can be accessed and can be accessed most directly by studying the blueprints. So if you really wanted to understand the building, you wanted to know how to restructure it, you wanted to understand how it's built, it's steel, it's concrete, it's tensility, you pull out the blueprints. And not only could Torah yield a better understanding of science, but it would be superior to a more frontal encounter because we'd be discussing it not through its manifestation. The scientist observes phenomena. He observes the phenomena of our world and he builds a system of physics. He observes the phenomena of the human body and he builds a system of biology. But if you were to understand the infrastructure at its core, you'd have a better and more rooted understanding. Which means that, just to use a turn of phrase, Rav Moshe Feinstein is capable of understanding physics in a way that surpasses Albert Einstein's understanding of physics. Because Albert Einstein is a scientist studying manifestations and phenomena, whereas the Torah scholar is studying the root and studying the base. Chazal's articulation of this is hafachba, v'hafachba, dekulaba. Study Torah, and the word hafach doesn't just mean to study, but to literally to overturn, to invert, to analyze, to analyze in different vantage points, dekulaba, because everything can be found in Torah. And people like the Vilna Gaon, whose level of Torah knowledge was so superior, was so transcendent, was able to study. I'm not sure that you could necessarily understand all of Shakespeare's ideas, but many people would feel that those ideas are less important. But those that are built in or baked into our reality, science and math and music and astronomy and even psychology, presumably, because that's how human beings function, these can all be accessed by Torah. Hafachba, vafachba, dekulaba, by definition. That isn't arguable. There's no way to argue that. That's a tautology. If you believe in Torah, and you believe in Torah as Hashem's will, and you believe in Hashem's will as expressed in Torah, as the basis of all reality, Bereshis Bara Elokim, you can't argue that point. The only point you can argue is that inasmuch as our understanding of Torah will never, by definition, will never be of caliber, will never be superior enough to yield that information, if you feel that that information is important and valuable, does it warrant diverting Torah resources to study? Does it warrant diverting Torah time and Torah resources to study fields that you need to earn a profession? Many people, most people, would sign up to that, would endorse that. Do you feel that you should divert Torah time and Torah resources to study these disciplines directly and frontally because you feel these disciplines are necessary, possibly to assist your understanding of Torah, to complete yourself as a human being, to be able to see HaKadosh Baruch Hu in more realms, even though your access of physics or science or biology may be less direct, less frontal than your access of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's will through Torah, but you feel that it all rounds you out as a person. As Rav Lichtenstein once mentioned to us, when you eat a sandwich, so there's the meat, and then there's the relish, whether it's the mustard or the pickles or the ketchup, and no one would confuse the proportion between the two. You have more meat than you have relish or spice, but the spice actually enhances the meal. So carrying over the metaphor, if Torah is the meat, you shouldn't confuse the proportion between the meat and the side dishes or the relish, but sometimes the side dishes or the relishes can broaden the meal and can broaden the experiences. So this is a corollary of Chazal's statement, Histakel bi'araisa ubara alma, mabit batara ubara es ha'olam, all based on the medrash that Torah precedes the creation of our world.